Good morning. Please join with me as we read God's Word. If you're using the Red Pew Bibles, we're starting in Psalm 117, and we're on page 537. That's 537. I'll give you a couple of moments to find that. As we read here in TCM, we do like to stand together as we read. So if you'd like to join me in standing, please, as we read God's Word. Thank you. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify him, all peoples. For his faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. And our second reading is Romans 15, verses 7 to 12. And you'll find that on page 1008, 1008 in the Red Pew Bibles. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted you, to the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a servant of the circumcised on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises to the fathers. And so that Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praise to your name. Again, it says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, The root of Jesse will appear, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. The Gentiles will hope in him. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Hugh, for the reading of God's Word, and I'll now invite Al back to preach to us.
So this morning we're going to turn our attention, as we look at God's Word, to Psalm 117. Just as you are kind of turning back there, in the part of the world that I work in, so many believers, not that many, but so many of them don't have God's Word in their own language. So what a privilege it is for us this morning to have God's Word and to be able to open it. So this morning we're thinking about a God who is to be praised. In 1928, at St Mary's Hospital in London, there worked a professor. He was clearly in holiday mode, and he was off on a two-week vacation, to be precise. He didn't bother cleaning his latest experiments. When he came back from holidays, he noticed that there was mould on his Petri dishes. As he began cleaning them, he noticed something very odd. Where the mould had grown, the bacteria were absent. Bacteria were everywhere, but they just weren't on the mould. Alexander Fleming had accidentally discovered what we know as antibiotics. And the whole world was changed by one event. Now we fear a world where antibiotics don't work because of resistance. When we come to Psalm 150, we discover that it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. But this one small psalm is a game changer. It's a world changer, in fact. Just like the discovery of penicillin changed the world, this short psalm reaches right out across the world. The big difference being penicillin was an accidental discovery, whilst the gospel, the global message of Psalm 117 is by sovereign design. Spurgeon said, This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit. For bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon mankind to praise the name of the Lord. There's a real sense in which this psalm is prophetic. And we can say that with absolute confidence because it's quoted in the New Testament. It reaches out from the depths of the old covenant age right across into the new covenant era. And it's as exciting as it is far-reaching. And I want us to unpack it together this morning. But before we dive into the text itself, I want us to set the context. Because the context makes the content even more stunning. So, we don't know who the author is, but we do know that the author here is a Jew. The Jews, of course, were God's chosen, special people. They were privileged, they were blessed. They didn't often appreciate the privileges as they should have done, but they were quite clear that God was for them and for them alone. And he was not to be the God of the nations around them who worshipped idols. Israel was very happy with this position, even when the nation didn't acknowledge God as they should have done. If you want an example of this, just think about Jonah for a moment. Jonah's told to go and preach to the heathen Gentile city of Nineveh. And to put it mildly, Jonah is none too pleased. And he's none too pleased because he doesn't want God's grace to be shown to anybody other than the nation of Israel. And he fears and he suspects that somehow, if he goes to preach a message of repentance, that they might repent and receive God's mercy. And as a Jew, he does not want that to happen. Israel believed that they were the recipients of God's grace, and the other nations were to be excluded. And that background is what makes this psalm so astounding. It's also the language that causes problems for the Judaizers of the New Testament age. So, three things this morning, okay? What the world should do, why the world should do it, and who the world should worship. Okay, first one, what the world should do. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, glorify him, all people. So the Jewish psalmist is moved by God's Spirit to utter these astonishing words. All the nations should praise the Lord. All the nations of the world, all the nations of the earth, all people who dwell on the earth. Now let's be really clear this morning. To praise and to glorify goes far beyond just an acknowledgement, a head knowledge. Many people in the Bible acknowledged God, but they never praised him. And they certainly didn't glorify him. You see, to praise and extol or glorify God incorporates relationship. You have to know God if you are truly going to worship him. When Israel praised and glorified God, they received the blessing of God's favor. They were the beneficiaries of God's grace. Therefore, what the psalmist is actually saying here is this. May the nations of the world receive your blessing. May the peoples of earth receive your blessing. May everyone on planet Earth know you and worship you. Now that is just so outside the mindset of the everyday Israelite. Yet it should be no surprise. Because didn't God promise to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you in Genesis 12 verse 3. Many years later, as the gospel goes global, Paul has to deal with this same issue. In Romans chapter 15, Paul is dealing with this particular problem. See, what Paul has done in Romans is he's taken his readers all the way through the theology of the gospel. The centrality of the cross and the resurrection for Jew and for Gentile. And in Romans 9 to 11, Paul explains how the Gentiles have been grafted in. And yet the Jews, the Judaizers, have a problem with these Gentiles who claim the gospel belongs to them. and Paul has to bring them back to basics. What does Paul say in Romans 15? Therefore, welcome one another, just as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a servant to the circumcised on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises to the fathers, and so that Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praise to your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. See, verse 11 is a direct quote from Psalm 117, translated from Old Testament Hebrew into New Testament Greek, and then on to, into English. God has fulfilled his global plan of salvation made to the patriarchs. And the end result is that Gentiles become the spiritual children of Abraham, and the Gentiles end up glorifying God. So according to the New Testament, what should the world do? Praise God and enjoy his blessing, which is exactly what the psalmist says in Psalm 117. One other brief mention here. This is incredibly relational too. The word here in Psalm 117 for God is Yahweh. It is God's personal name. So personal, in fact, that the Jews didn't take it upon their own lips. We call it Yahweh as we put the vowels together from the Hebrew. The psalmist says that these nations should praise Yahweh. That is a global invitation. It is to enjoy the favour of God through relationship. A relationship that is going to be brought about in and through Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Today, we live in the gospel age, but the call still goes out. Praise God, all you nations. Right around the planet, there are people today exalting and praising the name of the Lord. Isn't it absolutely amazing this morning that already tens of millions of Chinese people will have praised and worshipped God? We're worshipping God, and the Africans and Hannah, who I happen to know from Oak Hall Holidays, I didn't realise there was a connection, and all the people in Africa will be praising God at a similar time to us. And yet to come are all the Americas. And God is to be praised by all people groups, called from all language groups. And yet, there are still places around this world where it's like there's a vacuum. And there isn't that praise that's rising to God. There's a vacuum in Central Asia. I could take you to a city I know quite well in mid-eastern Turkey. It's a city of 1.3 million people. There are approximately 15 to 20 Turkish believers in that city. That's it. And the surrounding towns and small cities, there are no believers whatsoever. Not quite true. About 100 miles away, there's a city with two believers. The whole southern half of Tajikistan, there are less than 200 believers. In Chechnya, there are less than 10 national believers. Dagestan, with its 30 people groups, there are less than 5 believers. And our prayer should be, praise the Lord, you people of Tatarstan, you people of Bashkortostan, Turkey, Uzbekistan, and all the other stans I won't bore you with. But there's a vacuum of praise, and our prayer should be, Lord, may there be praise that rises to you. Speaking at a conference, a meeting yesterday, I was talking from Revelation about the people gathered around the throne from every background and nationality and skin colour and people group. And our prayer yesterday was, Lord, when that great and glorious day comes, may there be people worshipping you in Tatar, in Uzbek, in Kazakh, in Kyrgyz. You see, the psalmist here exhorts all peoples to glorify God. The gospel has gone worldwide. God did global before it ever became a buzzword here. God did global right from the start. And yet there are so many people groups that have yet to hear the gospel. The Zazar people, people of Kurdish origin in eastern Turkey and northern Iraq. 2 million of them. No Bible. There's a project just starting. Until 2 years ago, we would have said there are no believers. We now believe there are about 5. Southern Azerbaijan into northern Iran, the Talish people group, completely unreached. We've got people going there to learn the language, to take the gospel to them. Lord, may your gospel reach these people so that there will be Talish people worshipping and praising you. If you want to put it in terms of the disciples' prayer, what do we pray? Your kingdom come. In Lincoln, in Central Asia, in Tatarstan. The task is not finished. In fact, when it comes to Central Asia, it's only just started. That's why the work of the Bible College is just so important. So that God's name is glorified across all the world. Number 2, the points will get quicker, don't panic, okay? Why the world should do it. Okay, so we thought about what the world should do, but now the question is why? The psalmist doesn't leave us in any doubt at all, because he goes on to say in Psalm 117, "For his faithful love towards us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever." Friends, this morning, if you didn't know it, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news, and it's a good news thread that runs all the way from the Old Testament into the New. Sometimes I hear people say that they don't like the God of the Old Testament. That's quite ridiculous, because God hasn't changed. But if you're in any doubt at all as to God's character, listen again to what the psalmist says. For his faithful love towards us is what? It's great. And the Lord's faithfulness endures for how long? Forever. That's an Old Testament writer speaking about God before Jesus ever came. In the New Testament, we read the reality of the gospel, the good news of God loving this world so much that he gave of himself his own son to come into this world. How amazing it is that the God who flung the vastness of the universe into existence was born onto planet Earth to live a perfect life, to go to a cross, to die a terrible death, with God's wrath poured out upon him, in order to pay the price for our sin, that we get the chance to go free if we put our trust and our faith in him. The world desperately needs this good news. Any other news in the world that is good is only temporary. And Jesus Christ is the best news ever. Can you just grab the fact this morning that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are the most privileged person on planet Earth. There is no one who is more privileged than you are. Interestingly, as I look across Central Asia, one of the things that is quite astonishing is a Muslim's reaction to the subject of grace. God's grace, a most generous gift, free to us but costing him everything, is something that bowls Muslims over when they begin to grasp it. Every time I travel to Central Asia, I learn new things. And I learned that during Ramadan, when Muslims don't eat during daylight hours or officially drink during daylight hours, that in Central Asia, people are incredibly hospitable. They invite you constantly into their homes. They're really welcoming. And they would welcome me into their home during Ramadan, and they would be prepared to cook me a meal, because I'm not a Muslim. And they would smell it. Their taste buds would get going, their mouth would salivate, but they would think they were earning extra credits because they're going through that and not eating it. So when a Muslim comes into an arena where they hear about grace, they're often moved to tears because they never get grace within Islam. The grace of God is truly astonishing. Just because you hear about the grace of God all the time, don't become over familiar with it. And the task of delivering this good news and the grace of God in Central Asia goes on. 500 million people lost in their sin, hell-bound, nearly all have never heard of a Saviour who lived and died for them. Oh, how they need to hear the grace of God. And how God is faithful, he's trustworthy, he's dependable. That's true of God in his very essence and character. Our work has proved that time and time again in Central Asia. The national believers that we work with, and if you're in a national speaking church, so an Uzbek speaking church in Uzbekistan, you will not be a registered church. You'll be an underground illegal church. But time and time again, despite believers being put in prison and released, they still can testify to God's faithfulness and his goodness. You see, through it all, God is faithful. His faithfulness endures forever and it never runs out. Isn't that brilliant this morning? Every promise he makes, he keeps. Contrast that to our politicians. Everything he says, he does. I try to keep my promises. Sometimes I try really hard, but I can't keep them because circumstances change. I can't physically deliver them. God's never in that position. He always has the authority and the power to deliver on the promises that he makes. So, that's what the world should do. Why the world should do it. Last, and this won't be long, who the world should worship. The short psalm ends where it starts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you remember what Jesus said on Palm Sunday? The crowds are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The religious leaders are deeply upset by it and ask Jesus to kindly tell the crowds to desist. What does Jesus say? If they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out in praise to God. Our God is worthy of all praise. And as we look round the planet Earth with our mind's eye this morning, surely within us we want all peoples right round this world to get the opportunity to praise and to worship the one true living God who brings hope and eternal life and relationship. We long that they would worship him. So we reach out with the good news. But we do that here too. Your job this week is to reach out with the good news of Jesus into your world, into your environment, into your circle. That is your responsibility this week. But I also long that there would be an ongoing engagement with many, many more people in the UK who just long and pray earnestly that 500 million people in Central Asia will get a chance to hear. I do a lot of talks, but I never become blasé with that statement because it's just so incredibly moving and absolutely essential that people in the 21st century have never heard. How can that be? So keep on praying, keep caring, keep encouraging. Maybe even God is speaking to someone here this morning and saying, what can you do? What might you be able to do to support gospel work in Central Asia? Or maybe you want to come on a trip for a couple of weeks to have your eyes really opened and to really engage. The work of the gospel, the task is not yet finished. The work goes on at home and abroad. But you know, one day the job will be done. And then we'll praise God in a way that we've never praised him before. We will enjoy his presence for the whole of eternity. But until that day comes, there's a job for us to do. And Jesus commands us to get out with the gospel. Ultimately, what is this about? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify him, all peoples. For his faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and pray. God our Father, thank you that you are worthy of all praise and all worship. We bow in your presence this morning as we acknowledge you to be God of the whole world, the whole earth. And Lord, we long that praise for you would resound from every quarter of this planet. Lord, may your gospel come to Central Asia in a fresh, living and vibrant way, through whichever way you choose to make that happen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity this morning to just remember that college in Kazan. And as they face all kinds of challenges with constant opposition from the authorities, please would you strengthen them and give them wisdom. And as the training program expands, Lord, in your grace and goodness, may many, many more people be equipped to share your love and your grace and to teach your church in Central Asia. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just before we sing, let me just tell you one thing about the college. It just came to mind then. The authorities make life really difficult for the college sometimes. Just silly things, bureaucracy. They had an inspection about 6 months ago, and they said, you haven't got your signage for exit, entrance and whatever in the Tatar language as well as the Russian language. Okay, we'll do it. So they had the signs printed, identical in Russian and Tatar, in one colour over another colour, saying exactly the same thing, just to fulfil the needs of the responsibility of the authorities. The college works under rules like that. There are 3 court cases going on at the moment. Life is tough. It's difficult. Pray for wisdom. And we're going to sing our last song, which talks about there's still a job to do. And the chorus includes a response that I hope we can sing from our hearts this morning. Thanks, guys.
Let's stand together.